brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we're going to take a look at the readings for the Feast of St. Aloysius Gonzaga. I want to tell you one thing interesting about him. I went in high school to a place called St. Aloysius. I was in college, St. Aloysius, and I began to wonder, who really is St. Aloysius? And I find out that he was a very, very good man. He was a man who wanted to abdicate his title and go out on his own. And his father was so mad at him that he sent him on a tour of Italian courts. But Aloysius continued his own regimen of fasting and mortification. At last, his father permitted him to join the Jesuits. And in the novitiate at Rome, Aloysius is said to have proclaimed, "This is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell, for I desire it." That's a man who did not give up until he got what God really wanted him to be. So, brothers and sisters, let's take a look on this feast at the first reading of Genesis chapter 12. Verses 1 to 9. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." So Abram went as the Lord directed him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife, Sarah, his brother's son, Lot, all the possessions that they had accumulated, and the persons that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land as far as the sacred place of Shechem, by the terebinth of Morah. The Canaanites were then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel, pitching his tent with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. He built an altar there to the Lord and invoked the Lord by name. And then Abram journeyed on by stages to the Negev. Brothers and sisters, think of this. You're a young man. You do what the Lord is asking you to do. It's not easy. It's not easy. Brothers and sisters, if he's 70-some years old when the Lord speaks to him, it would be very easy to say, "No, I'm getting older. No, I can't do that. No, I can't do this." But Abram did what God asked him to. And then the Lord had told him, "To your descendants I will give this land." And so Abram followed him. Abram did what he was asked to do. And the psalm for today, Psalm 33, says, "Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own." But you know what? We have a free will. And it's so easy to say, "No, this doesn't fit in with my plans. This doesn't fit in with my way of life. No, I never expected to go there. No, I don't want to go there." Whatever the case may be. But when the Lord spoke to them, appeared to them, they did it. Brothers and sisters, our faith is rooted now in thousands of years. We've got to draw on the faith that God is giving us. We need to look at ourselves and to say, "Am I following Christ or not?" Or is that, "Oh, well, later I'll think about it," or "That's not important to me," or whatever the case may be. it's eternity long important to you, not just for a few years in this life, but forever. Do I love him? Do I follow him? And do I obey him? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Psalm 33 says, "Bless the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. He wants all of us. It's a question of whether we will respond." I remember one time when I was just in my teens, sitting up in bed one night and just saying, "Lord, do you really want me to follow you?" Now, God had not said a word to me, but it was such a strong sense in me. And not that I was reading this, I wasn't. And I just said, "Yes, Lord, of course I'll follow you." It's not as easy just to say it, but I said it and I meant it. Have I made mistakes? Yes. Have I sinned? Yes. But I'm trying to really follow the Lord. He knows how fragile I am and you are. He knows. But what he wants is for us to come to him and say, "Lord, I want to follow you. Take me where you want me to go." Psalm 33 tells us, "Bless the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Bless the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he has chosen for his own inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down. He sees all mankind. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him." That means to respect him, to reverence him. "Upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine." Our soul waits for the Lord. Takes trust to do that. It's a great test. But brothers and sisters, if we wait for the Lord, long for the Lord, seek the Lord, he will reveal himself in some way. Don't go around looking for revelation. Just look around to doing what the Lord asks of you. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you. That is, have put our trust in you. We seek the mercy of God. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us. Repent of your sin. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Look at the gospel today of Matthew chapter 7. I'm just going to read the first 5 verses. And listen to this. Matthew 7, verses 1 to 5. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stop judging, that you may not be judged." Do you judge? Well, I do. There are times it just comes out of into my mind, and I have to say, "No, Lord, no. I can't judge another person. No matter how difficult it is, I don't know what's going on in his or her heart, so I can't judge. But what I can do is offer help. What I can do is offer advice, if they want it. Stop judging, that you may not be judged." Brothers and sisters, I've had a hard time with that area in my life because it just kind of right there before I've even thought. And I just say, "Lord, shut this down. I don't want any part of this." And it does. It goes. Sometimes we judge and we think, "Oh, what a terrible person," or what an evil person, or whatever. And we might be right, but they obviously need help. Can you help them? That's the question. Can you help them? Can I help you? Part of your helping is to direct you to somebody, or to direct that person to somebody who can help them even more than you can. But don't judge, "Oh, that person's going to hell," or "that person is this or that," or whatever the case may be. You do not know. No matter how much we think we know, brothers and sisters, we don't know. That's between God and that person. And many times people need help. So instead of scoffing or turning away or walking away or refusing to see that person, ask the Lord, "Lord, What could I do to help that person to change or to grow? Sometimes God wants to use that. Doesn't mean every time, but stop judging. In other words, don't you make the definite decision. Only God knows all, and only God can do that. Stop judging. You may not be judged. For as you judge, you will be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but you do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? In other words, we can be more guilty of sin than the person we're criticizing. Don't do that. How can you say to your brother, "Let me remove that splinter from your eye," while the wooden beam is in your eye, you hypocrite? God could say that to us, "You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye." I know there are times when I have to turn to the Lord after I've had a conversation, usually in a group of people, and I think, "Oh Lord, I'm starting to judge, or have judged, or I just want to get away from this." And sometimes it's good to get away from a conversation, but sometimes it's just not. Sometimes you need to be there so that you, in fact, could be a help to the person who is in trouble. They might not think they're in trouble. They might think they're just fine and dandy. They might get embarrassed by you, or, "Who do you think you are to judge me?" You're not judging. You're just saying, "You know, if you keep talking like that, you're going to end up really with great gossip. You're going to end up being a hypocrite. Is there anything I can do to take from the anger from your heart? Is there any way I could pray with you? Is there any way I could walk with you? Is there any way sometimes somebody doesn't have anywhere to turn and they need to talk it out? Do you want to talk it out with me?" Sure, your schedule changes for 15 minutes or for a half hour, but who knows? You may well save someone's soul. Please give up being hypocrites who say they're Christian, but who just in some ways hate their neighbor. And that's really difficult. But what we want to do is remove, and we ask God to do that, remove the wooden beam from our own eye first, and then we will see clearly to remove the splinter from our brother's eye. God loves you. No matter how much you've sinned, no matter how much you've turned away from God, please say, "Lord, I know you can hear me. I can't hear you, but I believe that it's true that you love me. Will you please help me to change?" My goodness, brothers and sisters, you turn to God for that. Sometimes he puts someone right in front of us who can help us. He has all kinds of ways of giving help, but help he will give. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.